Life Audio.
Hey, hey, friends, it's Dana Shea, and you're listening to Real Relationship Talk. Y'all, I have been summoned by my husband to do a podcast. So I'm here with my husband, Sean. Y'all, we just finished hosting the XO Marriage Conference at our church. We've done this for, I think, the past 5 years now. And every single year, I just feel like it just gets better and better and better. And so whenever we come off these conferences, we're both like on a high, not just because of what we've received, but what we've been able to impart. So one of the favorite things that our participants at least have told us over the last several years is that they love when we do these gender-specific breakouts. We have historically had the guys go in one room, the ladies go in another room, and then the women on our team, there's been 3, 4, 5, 6 of us sometimes, depending on the year, we are the panel. So we will go and we will answer questions for the wives, and then our husbands are the panel for the husbands, for the guys, right? And every year, it's been great. Well, this year, Sean actually had the idea to switch it, to flip the script. And so the ladies, y'all, we went into the guys' session and our husbands led the wives' session. Hope that makes sense. So we walk into this room full of men and we're like, surprise, we're actually going to be your panel. And so, y'all, I love those guys, like the transparency, the vulnerability, the honesty, the courage of these men. It just blew me away. And they were so receptive of us. And if I could be honest, I was a little bit nervous. Like, are they going to receive us? Are they going to like take wisdom from us? And not only did they receive the wisdom, but they thanked us over and over and over again, how much we listened to them, how transparent we were, how raw we were. And for sure, it was one of my highlights of this whole conference. So today, Sean and I are talking and he's like, we're doing a podcast 4:30. I was like, okay, sir. You know, and so here we are. And so I don't know what's about to go down in this conversation, y'all. All I know is that my husband wants to do a podcast episode with me. I am not turning that down. So get ready for a wild ride, y'all. I know we're talking about respect. I know we're talking about security, and that's all I know. So come along and join us for what I'm sure is going to be a very impactful and very surprising conversation. All right. Well, everybody, I am here with my husband, Sean. I really do not know what to expect, you guys. As I said in the intro, Sean kind of summoned me on this podcast right now. And I am looking forward to what you have to say.
I did not summon you to the podcast.
You said we are going to record something at 4:30. That is a summons and a subpoena.
I just want to see if you're listening to me.
I'm listening.
No. So, you know, I wanted to said we're going to do more podcasts together. So we had some a good conference. We learned some things. And, you know, one thing that really stuck with me was kind of 4 major needs of men and women. So I wanted to talk with you about that to see how you felt about that and see, you know, just get your thoughts. And
all right.
Off the cuff.
So you are the host and I'm going to be interviewed by you. How about that?
You know, I think we moving forward, you know, well, I would like to do when I'm on a podcast is just give practical tips, you know, for people, you know, for men and women, different things to help improve the relationship.
I think you always do that when you're on.
Okay, well, I'm going to do more of it.
Well, praise the Lord.
You know,
God is good.
And more things to come.
Prayer works.
So, you know, some of the things we went over, some major needs for men, respect, sex, friendship, and domestic support. Mm-hmm. And major needs for women would be security, open and honest communication, soft, non-sexual affection, and leadership. And, you know, when I was looking at those, they actually, they mix together and intertwine together. And if we just stop really looking at ourselves and, you know, what we need and worked on the other, and they would work together and it would be a little simpler. You know, I think we make things a lot harder than what it has to be.
So I think, you know, first of all, just addressing these needs, because you kind of like flew through them real quick, and maybe people are not aware. I don't know if you remember when we were doing our marriage group here in the house, where we were reading through a book called His Needs, Her Needs by Willard Harley. Was that his name? Harvey Willard.
Don't get me lying.
Yeah. But anyway, in the book, His Needs, Her Needs, he talks about the main needs that most men need and the main needs that most women need. And this is kind of a shortened list of those needs. So I think you're right, Sean. Like when I look at, for example, a man's number one need, as most women have heard, is respect, right? Mm-hmm. Where a woman's number one need is security. And I don't know if a lot of men really understand like what that means. So like, how would you, if I'm asking you as a man, how would you say, or how would you describe your understanding of what it means when a woman says she needs security?
Man, you hit me hard with that one. It's supposed to be practical tips. It's pretty simple.
It's practical, but it can't deep, be practical if guys don't know what to do. Like if they're just like, okay, I know that a woman needs security, but then they don't know how to practice it. How is that practical?
I mean, basic things for me is like, you know, security of, and you know, I'm providing you a safe place, you know, a safe you. And if we have the children involved, a safe place for them, mm-hmm. you know, I'm not disregarding, you know, if you bring up something, you know, that may be sketchy or nervous, something, I don't just blow it off or something, even if I don't think so, you know, I take all your concerns into consideration. You know, I believe that provides security. You know, I'm providing financial security, you know, physical security, you know, spiritual security, you know, all the different securities, you know, anything that you might bring up, I'll provide that and address it, you know, and we'll talk about it and then let you know what I feel, what you say is important to me, you know, and vice versa. When I feel when, you know, I address those needs, you ought to, in return, show respect.
Right. And that's good. And I think it's 75% of the way there. I think the problem and the breakdown that happens is happening right now, right? And in a lot of marriages is that I think men overlook one of the biggest ways that women need security. And that is we need to feel like our hearts are safe with you. So that means that if we address something, we don't want to be belittled, shamed, quieted, diminished. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times we might have emotional needs or even just an awareness that maybe our husbands don't have. And so if we bring that to you and you don't really like take that seriously, then we don't feel safe to open up to you. And it's hard to respect somebody if you feel like they don't really see you. They don't really understand you. It's just like, you know, we watched this show, right? Called All Rise. It's a really great show. Unfortunately, they canceled it, you guys. So if you're trying to like binge watch it, you're only going to be able to watch it up to season 4. But there is a part in that show that we're watching where this judge has the respect of most of her colleagues and the community. Mm-hmm. But this most recent episode that we were watching, she kind of overstepped. Mm-hmm. And because she overstepped, she didn't listen to what the defendant was really saying. She didn't really take into consideration what was really happening. She had a preconceived idea of what she thought was going to happen. Mm-hmm. And so she made a bad decision and then she lost respect. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's what happens in marriage a lot of times where husbands will come to a situation and they think that they know what should happen or they think they know what their wife is saying or what their wife is feeling. So then they'll make a decision or they'll make an assessment on that and they're wrong. And then their wife doesn't feel seen or heard. And so she loses respect for him.
So from hearing, you know, really, that's why I said, should listen and address the concern, mm-hmm. you know, and then it's a responsibility of both parties to, you know, repeat it back and make sure we hear it clearly. If we didn't hear it clearly, you know, if I didn't address it right, okay, give me some grace to understand what it is, because a natural instinct of a man is to make an assessment, make a decision. So if I got it wrong, okay, no, that's not what I was saying. Okay, all right, let me look at it again.
Right, right. And that takes a lot of humility on the men's part because I don't know if there are a lot of husbands who, when they're challenged, then they're like, okay, well, help me understand. Like, that's a great, that's an ideal. I think that's what all women want is for their husbands to, it's okay for your husband to be wrong. But then when he's wrong, for him to acknowledge, okay, maybe I didn't understand you right, or I made a bad decision, or, you know, with the information that I had at the time, this is what I thought we should do. And now I realize that that wasn't the best thing. We talked about this last night. Mm-hmm. If men are willing to do that, then the respect level goes way up for a woman because she's like, whoa, not only are you humble, but you're honest, you're transparent, and you don't think you know everything. Mm-hmm. So I can respect you more.
Right. And it also goes back to, again, what we talked about is would you allow us to make that mistake even when you realize that we are going to make a mistake? Because sometimes we have to learn from our mistakes. So if we can make that mistake and we know you're not going to throw it in our face, or you support us through that mistake, then, you know, as long as it's not detrimental, mm-hmm. you know, it's going to cause harm or anything like stuff like that. But if it's a mistake that we can make and we can process and learn from it, we will admit to it. You know, and then, okay, I made a mistake. I made a mistake on this one here. But
I'm trying to give you practical tips
because when you throw it in our face or hold it over our head, we're not going to do that.
I am trying to believe for the best, but I'm telling you that the couples that I work with, the men are not always like, I made a mistake and please help me to, you know, make it right.
This is tips both on both sides to help.
Okay? Right.
So I understand your experience and what you work with, but these are moving forward.
So I think what we need to establish is like, what is the ideal versus what is actually happening in these relationships? Because the reason that people listen to a podcast like this, or the reason that people, you know, sign up for marriage coaching or attend a marriage conference is because what has been happening in their relationship isn't necessarily what they want to continue to happen. Even couples that are doing well, like mm-hmm. we had a lot of couples in this conference that were not on the struggle bus. They were doing okay, but they realized that we can still learn. We can grow in our communication. We can learn how to handle conflict better. So what I'm hearing you say is right. You know, you're saying you're nothing but the truth, right? I think the breakdown for me happens when a woman does try to, you know, trust her husband with mm-hmm. a decision, and said husband makes a wrong decision and he doesn't come back and say, I was wrong. You know, I messed up. Forgive me. I'm going to make this right. I think that that's where I'm just like, there's a pause in me because I feel like there's a woman listening like, yeah, my husband would never do that, or my husband never does that. So then what happens is when that has happened in your relationship, you don't trust your husband to make sound judgments or to make sound decisions. So it's harder for then as a woman to say, okay, well, I'm going to trust my husband to make another decision when I know that he's not necessarily great about making good decisions.
We said a lot, but I also feel that women may be holding on to past stuff. So I'm trying to give a practical tip moving forward. Mm-hmm. For me, you know, I know if I have your support and I make a mistake, I feel bad. And so, look, I messed up. You know, I thought this, thought that, and I'm going to talk to you about it. You know, it takes some courage to talk to you about it. It takes courage to admit a mistake.
Can you give a practical example from our marriage of a time where you've made a bad decision?
Love holds no record of wrong, so I can't keep anything. Sorry.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Wow.
So,
well, we're going to take a break and see if some honesty comes back into the episode. So stick with us, guys. We have to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Are you tired of the communication problems in your relationship? Don't you wish there was some sort of a cheat sheet that could help you to learn how to de-escalate arguments quickly? Well, friend, I have just the resource for you. I've created a resource called Heart to Heart Conversation Starters for Couples in Conflict. This is not only going to help you to de-escalate those arguments, but it's also going to help you learn how to stop pointing fingers and find common ground. Get your free guide today at danashay.com/conversation starters. That's danashe.com/conversation starters. Be on your way today to better communication in your relationship.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-497-4410. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, Anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-497-4410. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-497-4410.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
Okay, we are back from our break, and Sean has now found an example of a time in our marriage where you made a faulty decision and had to come back and say, I made a mistake. Will you please forgive me? I'm going to make this right.
And what was that again? Since we were just talking about it?
You tell me.
So again, love has no record of all wrongs.
Oh my
god!
But
what I'm telling you is, you know, I really can't remember anything off the top of my head. You know, I try not to hold records of anything. You know, and I try to keep that because I know if you get upset, then things come up. So I try not to hold any record of anything. That's my honest opinion moving forward. You know, I've been trying to do that for a while now. What I'm telling you is, if I'm going to make a decision is, you know, cause you want, the woman wants the man to lead. You know, mm-hmm. I want you to lead. All right. So when you say that, when he leaves, but when you, well, why are you doing this? Well, why are you doing what? Then he's, you know what? I'm good. I don't want to, because if you want me to lead, let me lead. And then you're going to have to, all right, this is the way I'm going. All right. Put your seatbelt on, buckle up for the ride. You know, if I make a mistake, okay, because you allowed me to lead and you supported and you were the co-pilot, and that, you know what? I messed up. And I shouldn't have done that. Did it this way. You know, how do you think we can go forward?
I think there's a difference, though, between leadership and then dictatorship, right? And I know most men wouldn't say that they're dictators or that they're coming across even as dictatorial. But I think when you just use the terminology like, I have to make this decision. If you want me to lead, let me lead. I'm going to go with this decision. That's like all you. I'm going to do this. These are my reasons for doing this. I need you to just kind of support me and trust me. Where I know for me, like in our marriage, that doesn't work well for me because you just use the term co-pilot. So in a real situation, if there are co-pilots, both of those people have equal say in how that plane is going to operate. Now, there might be a more experienced pilot, right? He's the captain or whatever. But mm-hmm. that co-pilot is not only there to just kind of sign off on everything that the pilot is doing. That co-pilot also has a responsibility in that plane. And so I think that for me, when there's a big decision, like, okay, we decided to send our kids back to private school this year, mm-hmm. right? I was not in agreement with that at first. Mm-hmm. I was like, public school is free. We live in an amazing school district. Everything is good. Let the kids stay in public school. Mm-hmm. You were like, no, these are all the reasons that I think that the kids should go to private school. And we kind of went back and forth about that. And there was really a place where I was going to dig my heels in and mm-hmm. be like, this is expensive. Like, this is a huge investment. Mm-hmm. We, you know, like could buy a whole nother house with this money. Mm-hmm. And I was not on board. But then there was something inside of me that said, you know what? Dana, trust him. Like, mm-hmm. what if this is the right decision? Like, everything that I think isn't right. And I get that. Like, everything, my ideas and opinions aren't always 100%. Mm-hmm. So I had to say, all right, I'm willing to trust you here. But I think what helped me get there wasn't the fact that you were like, well, this is the decision I made. These are all the things that I researched.
Let me stop
and
you
so
there. I'm not saying, okay, it's not a dictatorship. I'm saying as far as leading on the decision. So, okay, that was the route that we wanted to, you know, I wanted to go. You didn't want to at first. And we were both pretty, you know, steadfast in our decisions. And when it went down, you know, I was willing to, you know, say, if this is a wrong decision, if it backfires, I was wrong mm-hmm. on this one here. But something has to change.
Right.
And so we were at a point where, okay, what's going to happen? You know, and we went with the decision to go back, and, you know, it worked out. But if it wouldn't have worked out, I would have been humble enough to say, you know what, I made a mistake. what do you think we should do next?
And I think that that's what is going to be helpful to the men, is to hear that process, because I know that there are a lot of men who are not going to take that route. There are some great men who will take that route. And just because you don't take that route doesn't mean you're not a great man. So I don't want to, you know, the guys listening to this to feel that they're not good husbands if they haven't gotten there. But what I'm saying is that what helps women to help or allow you, if I can put that in air quotes, to lead is when we feel like we're a part of the process. Like, there are some women who are just extremely like submissive and like whatever their husbands say goes, and they don't ever question it. I don't know many women like that. I'm not like that. Like, so it's not that I have to have my way or I have to make, you know, call the shots. I don't want to call the shots. And like I said to the group, why are you looking at me like that? Why are you looking at me like that? Do you disagree, sir?
No, at times, yes.
Listen, let me explain to you, okay? Being a strong woman, I say this all the time, strong women need strong men. Mm-hmm. So when you are a strong woman, when you have strong opinions, when you have strong beliefs about something, mm-hmm. like there's some things I could care less, Sean. If you want to do that, do that. I don't have an opinion. I don't have a dog in the fight. But the things that I am passionate about, like saving money, like that is a core value of mine. Mm-hmm. So when you make a decision that pushes up against that value, mm-hmm. I'm going to need to have some skin in the game. I'm going to need to have more than just a nod. I'm going to need to be able to voice my concerns, my opinions, and I need you to be able to hear them. So when you do, and I think you did a great job with this situation, like you heard my opinion, you were like, okay, I hear what you're saying. Yes, this is expensive. Let me show you how we're going to pay for this without it affecting anything else that we've got going on. Like once I saw that, because that's really the thing. And I think maybe that's like kind of the underlying root, is that the core of our conflicts really push up against our core values. And sometimes we don't really give each other credit for what's really important to each other. So one of the things that I talk about in premarital coaching is values, because just because you might both be Christians, for example, doesn't mean that you have the same values. You are a very generous person. You also don't have a scarcity mentality. You live in a life of abundance. And, you know, if that money goes away, well, money will come. Like that's kind of how you're wired. I'm not wired that way. Like I've had to grow into that and am still growing. But there are certain things that you decide that will, like I said, push up against a value of mine. That's where I think when I always say like conflict can be an opportunity for connection, this is where it happens right here. Mm-hmm. Because now you have a deeper understanding of, no, I'm not just trying to give you a hard time, or I don't like not care about my children's spiritual well-being and don't want them to go to private school. That's not it at all. But what's happening on the inside of my wife now is she's afraid. It's going back to that security thing. Mm-hmm. She's afraid that if we make this decision, there's going to be maybe a financial ramification that she doesn't want to deal with, or she doesn't know that we'll be able to handle. So let me help her with that. Let me see if I can help appease her with that. And I think that if men can do that, you're not going to have so much like struggle from your wives, because now they feel cared for. Now they feel like, oh, wow, you actually, again, see me, you get me. Now I have greater respect for you. Even if you make the decision that I wouldn't necessarily make, I know your process and how you got there. And mm-hmm. that's what I'm saying. Like, that's, I feel like this was a win for us in the school, like this whole example that I just shared, the school situation, where it was a win, because even though I still wasn't on board, you know, when mm-hmm. we made the decision, I was like, okay, yep, this is what we're doing. I even told my friends, like, okay, well, yeah, this is what we're doing, you know, and I kind of had that thing in my voice. But now I'm like, you know what? I really appreciate how we got to this decision.
Thanks for telling me.
You're welcome.
Yeah, there we go. And there's the respect. See, it worked out.
So what you were saying, though, was the whole respect and security. And really, I didn't plan on this. I don't think you planned on this either. But all of those needs could really be a separate podcast interview mm-hmm. because you know, we hear these things. And again, like some of these words become like rote. They become just words that we throw around. Respect, respect. Okay, as a wife, you need to respect your husband. Okay, what does that look like, though? So we've talked a lot about security. What would you say, Sean, as a man, how do I respect you as we wrap up?
We might have to do a part 2 because that might be long.
because I respect you in so many ways. That's so amazing. We have to do a whole separate episode so you could tell everybody how much I respect you. I love it. Well, let's stop there then, I guess, because I think that this is a lot for people to digest. Mm-hmm. And I just want to encourage you, if you're listening today, let's just talk about those two. Maybe this will be a great time for you and your spouse if you're listening together, which hopefully you are. But even if you're not listening together, if you're listening separately, to be able to have a conversation and ask, if you're a wife, ask your husband, hey, babe, like, what are the ways that you feel most respected? Mm-hmm. And what are some ways that I actually respect you? And then if you're really courageous, ladies, what are some ways that you feel I disrespect you? And I'm going to ask Sean that when we get off this podcast. No, in all seriousness, though, he does have somewhere to go. So that's why we're kind of cutting it short. And then on the flip side, fellas, guys, I think it would be really important for you to ask your wife, like, babe, what does security really mean to you? Mm-hmm. Like, I've heard that women need security. What does that look like to you? What does that feel like to you? What are some ways that you need me to show you more security? And what are some ways that I do make you feel secure? You guys, when we have these conversations, like when we not only talk about a principle or learn about a principle, but then we actually learn how to apply the principle, that's when you're going to be able to see your marriages go from just, you know, or okay, or just kind of making it. That's when you get to the good part. That's when you get to marriage becoming fun. And marriage, the work that we're doing, mm-hmm. it doesn't have to be like laborious work. It doesn't have to be like, oh, we're just, you know, climbing up this hill. It's so hard. But it can be fun. It can be life-giving. Mm-hmm. You become companions. You become co-collaborators, co-pilots, mm-hmm. back to your word there. And I think that this is where the magic of marriage really happens.
Yep, sounds good.
So thank you, Sean, for summoning us today to this episode. And thank you guys so much for listening. Make sure that you check out my latest offering to you, which is my conversation starters. I know a lot of you are having problems with even just beginning these conversations. And so you can find that at danashay.com/conversation starters and learn how to have these conversations with your spouse, because they're only going to make your marriage better. So
bye-bye.
Thanks, babe. See you later. Well, that was fun. You know, we do not agree on everything. And if you guys ever come to a podcast episode where Sean and I are on together, you're going to hear how we really talk. Like, we do not agree on everything. As you see, as you heard, we have different perspectives on things. And that's what we're going to always bring to you, because we have a real marriage. And we want you all to hear the real process that we go through when we're making decisions. So now is one of my favorite parts of the episode, and that is the time where we get to affirm who we are as people, as couples, as spouses. So today's affirmation is simple but powerful, and if you take it to heart, it is going to change how you show up in your marriage. So together, I want us to say this affirmation. I'll say it first, and then I want you to repeat it with me together. I am humble enough to admit my mistakes. Let's say that together. I am humble enough to admit my mistakes. One more time. I am humble enough to admit my mistakes. That's what it's all about, you guys. We're all going to make mistakes. We're going to miss the mark in our marriages, but we just have to show humility and be willing to admit when we've made those mistakes. We have to pick ourselves up, dust ourselves off, and keep moving forward. So thanks so much for listening to today's episode. You can find the show notes to this episode at realrelationshiptalk.com/225. And as we end every episode in saying, a good relationship is not one that works. A good relationship is one where you put in the work. Let's get to work, my friends. I'll see you on the next episode. Take care.